Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck will be continuing with Nehemiah's intercession with God, as we pick up in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And so Nehemiah is saying, "Lord, let your ear be attentive, your eyes open, that you might hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray day and night." So he really gave himself to prayer. Of course, this is the proper thing when you're faced with a situation that is just beyond your capacity to deal with it. The proper thing is just to bring it before the Lord. And so with fasting and with prayer day and night, Nehemiah was waiting upon God as he prayed for Jerusalem and for the conditions of the city. "For the children of Israel, your servants," he said, "and I confess the sins of the children of Israel." And then notice, "which we have sinned." He's not saying they have sinned, but "which we have sinned. Both I and my father's house have sinned." And so when I come to God, it's so important that I get this issue of sin cleared up. And it is always cleared up by confession. "He who seeks to cover his sin shall not prosper, but whoso will confess his sin, the same shall be forgiven." Now, as God said through Isaiah, "My hand is not short, my ear is not heavy, but your sins have separated you from me, so that your prayers are not being heard because of the sin that is there." It has broken the relationship. It has broken the communion. So I first come to God with the address, recognizing the faithfulness of God and the holiness of God and the faithfulness of God to keep his promise. But now I need to take care of that which would separate me from God or hold back my petition. I deal with the issue of sin. And he begins by the confession of sin. "God, I and my father's house, we're guilty." I've got to make that confession. I've got to get rid of the sin by the confession of sin if I am ever to get forgiveness of my sin. "We have dealt very corruptly against thee. We have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which you commanded your servant Moses." God, we are guilty. I'm guilty. My father's house is guilty. "Remember," he said, "I beseech thee, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations.'" Lord, I remember that you said that and that you did. We've been scattered. Here we are in Susa, the capital of Persia, far away from Jerusalem. But Lord, you only kept your word. "But you said, 'If you will turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from there and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name.'" Lord, you promised that if we would keep your commandments, that you would bring us back, though we were scattered to the furthest part of the world, to the North Pole or the South Pole, you would bring us back to dwell in the land. "Now, these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beg thee, let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to reverence thy name." prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. He finally got to the petition. But it's good not to just rush in with a petition. We so often just rush right in and say, God, I need this and this and this, and I hurry. You know, if you can do it in the next 5 minutes, I'll appreciate it, you know. But we don't bother to establish relationship, proper relationship, acknowledging who he is, acknowledging the faithfulness of God to keep his word, acknowledging our sin. I don't deserve it. But Lord, you've promised that you would be gracious and merciful to those who would call upon thee and who would confess their sins. You're faithful and just to forgive and merciful, and you're gracious, Lord. And we are your children. You've redeemed us by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've called us to be your children. You've drawn us unto yourself. And so, Lord, we're in a strait. Things are going bad. The condition of the nation is deplorable. God, hear. God, answer. God, work. Please, Lord. And so it's on that basis that we approach God. As we establish the relationship, then we can bring our petitions. Then we can offer our prayers unto God. And he doesn't really get around to the petition until he has taken care of relationship. And so prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. The man he is referring to, of course, is Artaxerxes, who is the Longimanus of secular history. Longimanus began to reign over Persia in the year 465 BC. This is the 20th year of his reign. In verse 1, in the 20th year, and they began their counting of the years from the beginning of the reign of the king. So Longimanus began his reign in 465 BC, so this means that this is 445 BC. Now, there was also a winter palace in Babylon, and Nehemiah was in the palace. The main palace of Persia was at Susa, or it's called here Shushan. The winter palace was in Babylon. The king had many cup bearers who would serve in a course. They would come and serve the king for a month or so, and so you would have your course in which you know that your time is coming. And so being in Susa, it could be that the king had been in the palace in Babylon, which was the winter palace, and it was winter time, and that he had come back to Susa, and that Nehemiah realized that soon he was to be standing before the king. He got the report in the month of December, and it is now March. And so the king has returned from the winter palace in Babylon, and he realizes, I'm soon going to be standing before the king. I'm soon going to be bearing the cup to him. And so his desire is that God might give him favor in the eyes of the king, mercy in the sight of this man, because he was the king's cup bearer. And so it came to pass in the month of Nisan. Now, Nisan is the first month of the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar was predicated upon the lunar months. And thus, the Jewish calendar is quite often different from ours because it is predicated upon the lunar months. Now, the third full moon after the winter's equinox was the Passover. That took place in the first month, the 14th day of the first month of the Jewish calendar. But you'll find that the Passover varies quite a bit from our celebration of Easter. Now, we usually celebrate Easter on the first Sunday after the third full moon after the beginning of the year. In other words, after New Year's, the first Sunday after the third full moon is Easter. They go back to the winter's equinox, which takes place in the 22nd of December. And so they can have a full moon in the month of December, which will then move their first month up. And so quite often, if there is a full moon between the 22nd of December and the 1st of January, then in that year, the Passover will be pretty far removed from our Easter celebration. So this particular year, 445 BC, and of course, it's easy for the astronomers to go back and they can tell you the position of the sky at any date in history. The universe is so well organized and it moves in such precision that they can give you the what the sky looked like at any date of any year, and they can project it there. So according to the astronomers, in the year 445 BC, the month of Nisan began at the equivalent of our 14th day of March on our calendar. So that he began, no doubt, his course of serving the king at the beginning of the month of Nisan, the year 445 BC, which would have been the 14th day of March, that he began to bear the cup to the king. So it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, 445 BC, he began reigning in 465, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now, before this, I had never been sad in his presence. It was an insult to the king if you were sad in his presence. And so when the king noticed his sad countenance, he was fearful. I mean, it could have been his life. But Longimanus seems to be a pretty easygoing fellow, according to the secular history and all. And interestingly enough, he was concerned with the servant. Therefore the king said unto me, "Why is your countenance sad, seeing that you're not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." And Nehemiah said, "And I was really afraid. Why is your heart sorrowful? You're not sick, but your countenance is sad. You don't look good." Of course, he had been fasting, and he had been praying, and he had been mourning, weeping, and all over this issue for 3 months now, from December until the 1st of March, or the 14th of March. And so it evidently showed on his appearance. You remember when Daniel and his friends were taken captive to Babylon and they were being groomed to stand before Nebuchadnezzar as counselors and all, and how that Daniel came to Arioch and said, "Hey, man, can't handle all of these, you know, dainties and all the king's meat and all this kind of stuff. How about letting us just eat some good whole grain food and vegetables?" And Arioch said, "You trying to get me in trouble?" He said, "If the king should see you not looking healthy and robust and all, it would be my neck. It would mean that I hadn't been..." You see, when you appear before the king, you've got to be happy, you got to look good, you know, and robust and all. And if you come before the king and you're looking, you know, like you're emaciated or sick and all, then the king would have my neck. Daniel said, "Look, give us 10 days. feed us just vegetables and grains for 10 days. And if at the end of 10 days we start looking bad, then we'll go ahead and eat the meat and drink the wine and all. But, you know, give 10 days. And so at the end of 10 days, Daniel and his buddies look so healthy, rosier cheeks and everything else. The fellow said, okay, fellas, go for it. You know, so they were able to then not defile themselves with the king's meat and the king's wines and so forth. So here is Nehemiah in a precarious position. Been fasting. His countenance isn't looking too good. And yet he's not sick. And so the king discerns, this is a sorrow of your heart. And so he said, I was afraid. And I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Now, traditionally, the Jews do have tremendous respect for the dead and for the bodies of the dead. Today, in Israel, if you're starting to build a building and you come across a tomb, the whole project stops. The rabbis are out there, and they have to go over a ritual, and you have to then take the bones and carry them off someplace else and bury them in a ceremonial way. But, I mean, a lot of issues, a lot of heated issues have come over the possibility of digging in a graveyard. The tomb of Abraham in Hebron, there at the cave of Machpelah, is a place where the Jews go in pilgrimage. They go there to pray, and you'll see them streaming in to that large building that was built by Herod over the cave of Machpelah to pray. The tomb of David in the city of Jerusalem, there on Mount Zion. Again, as you go in there, you'll see candles lit, and you'll see the men sitting there with their prayer books, these old men with their long beards and so forth, and they're praying next to the tomb of David. Tomb of Rachel is a special spot on the way to Bethlehem. Now, the Persians also had this same kind of respect for the sepulchers, the tombs, or the burial places of their ancestors. And so Nehemiah brings up the fact that the sepulchers are lying waste. The city of his fathers and the sepulchers are waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, what do you want? What is your request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king. When we get to that place where we have been praying that God would do a certain thing, now it would seem that maybe the door is opening. The king says, what is your request? I prayed unto the God of heaven. It had to be a very quick prayer. In his heart, he just threw up one of those quick prayers. Oh, God, you know, work now. And so those kind of prayers that we so often throw up very quickly unto God, we don't have time now to go into a long explanation or detailed explanation. Right now, I've got to get things done in a hurry. And so it's one of those quick little prayers that rises from our hearts in the time of need, in the time of an emergency, where it quickly I say, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, guide me. Oh, Lord, strengthen me. Oh, Lord, protect me. And between the king's question and his answer, there was an important prayer thrown up to heaven, and he answered the king. And he said, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I would that you would send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, and the queen was also sitting by him, "How long will your journey be? When will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. I told him how much time I wanted there. So it pleased the king to send me. The prayer was answered. God, give me favor in the sight of this man. Prayer is answered.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson, as we follow the arrival of Nehemiah in Jerusalem. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study of Nehemiah. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
I pray that God will bless you this week in a very special way, that your life will be guided by the Holy Spirit, that you'll have that sense of God's nearness and especially of God's love. May He strengthen you as you walk in the midst of an evil and corrupt generation. May He keep your heart pure and holy towards Him. And thus, may you grow in your love and in your commitment to the things of God. In Jesus' name.
Since the original sin of Adam, God has been looking for a man that He can use to accomplish His purposes on this earth. The apostles were more than willing to be used by the Lord. What was it that gave them certain spiritual characteristics necessary to be used by God? Pastor Chuck's book, entitled The Man God Uses, examines the book of Acts. He reveals the secret of the apostles' boldness, the five essential components of prayer, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So if you've ever wanted to accomplish more for the kingdom of God, then I encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's book. Once again, it's called The Man God Uses. Now, for those of you that wish to call, our convenient toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. Once again, that's 1-800-272-WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.